Hello, you are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF. It was on this date back in 1967. George Lincoln Rockwell, the founder of the American Nazi Party, was shot to death at a shopping center in Arlington, Virginia. Former party member John Palter was convicted of that killing. And there was something about this moment in history that sort of reflects a lot of our current political climate. And I thought it might be a good opportunity to come on and talk just a little bit about the history of nonviolent protest, because we are living in a political climate where a lot of people seem to see a necessity in violent protest, in making a stand with acts of force. And I thought I might come on and talk just a little bit about the opposite of that. I read an excellent article a number of years ago that I think is well worth reading. It was written by Maria J. Steffen. It was written for a magazine called Foreign Affairs, and in it they really talk about the study of resistance movements to authoritarian governments throughout the 20th century in an attempt to determine which methods were the most successful in both succeeding and in transitioning to peaceful democracies afterwards. And what they found was actually quite interesting. What they found out was that after studying 323 different movements from 1900 to I think about 2005, involving both violent and non-violent movements, it turns out that non-violent movements were twice as likely on average to succeed as violent movements, and that nonviolent movements often significantly increased the chances of a more peaceful and democratic government emerging in the aftermath. To quote the study directly, "Contrary to conventional wisdom, no social, economic, or political structures have systematically prevented nonviolent campaigns from emerging or succeeding. From strikes to protests to sit-ins and boycotts, civil resistance remains the best strategy for social and political change in the face of oppression. Movements that opt for violence often unleash terrible destruction and bloodshed in both the short and the long term, usually without realizing the goals they set out to achieve." And that does seem kind of counterintuitive when you think about resistance movements, especially here in the United States, where we have a history of often violent resistance. If you've listened to my show at all, you know I'm a big fan of 1776 era history, and that was definitely a violent resistance. But what I'm really seeing is that nonviolent movements are better prepared to enact long-term beneficial change for everyone. So what I thought I would do was I would just come on and talk about a few of the successful nonviolent movements throughout history, some of my favorite ones that I happen to know just a little bit about. So you can't talk about nonviolence and not get to Mahatma Gandhi. And of course, he's very famous for the Salt March, which was in the 1930s, Britain imposed a law dictating that no Indian could collect or sell salt in the country. So what Mahatma Gandhi did was he actually walked over 240 miles leading protesters to the Arabian Sea, and he picked up a small handful of salt out of the muddy waters at that sea. And of course, that wasn't a protest that made an immediate change, but 17 years later, after this peaceful yet defiant act, India did end up gaining independence from Britain, and that really set a lot of the tone that Salt March did. To quote Mahatma Gandhi on the issue, "There are many causes that I am prepared to die for, but no causes that I am prepared to kill for." If we look back to the early 19th century, we can see women's suffrage as another excellent example of nonviolent protest. There are far too many simply phenomenal examples of women's suffrage and nonviolent protest, but I will refer to the 1913 suffrage parade as a great example, where the voices of over 5,000 courageous women speaking out for the right to equal political participation really made a very significant difference in the political climate at the time. And of course, these efforts did end up changing our political system so that women did have the right to participate in the government. Another excellent example of peaceful protest is the Delano grape boycott. Cesar Chavez advocated for peaceful boycotts, of course, protests, and a grueling yet nonviolent 25-day hunger strike, which led to legislative changes to end exploitative abuse of America's farm workers in the late 1960s. He led a 5-year strike in Delano, California, bringing together over 2,000 farmers to demand minimum wage, primarily for underpaid, overworked Filipino farm workers. This caused more than 17 million Americans to boycott California grapes, and that, of course, helped secure unions, better wages, and security for farm workers. Another phenomenal non-violent resistor and also just incredible character study, if you ever have the chance to read a bit about her, but Rosa Parks and her refusal to give up her seat to a white passenger on a bus in Montgomery, Alabama, is a fantastic example of nonviolent protest. Her defiant act symbolized greater civil rights, spreading the message that all people, of course, deserve equal seating in America. And it only took 1 year after that defiant act that the Supreme Court ruled that segregation on public buses was unconstitutional. Finally, I saved my personal favorite peaceful protest for last, but Estonia's Singing Revolution is my favorite nonviolent resistance movements. During the Singing Revolution in Estonia, Estonians literally sang their way out of Soviet Union rule. It was in 1988 that more than 100,000 Estonians gathered for 5 nights to protest Soviet rule. It was known as the Singing Revolution. For Estonians, music and singing acted as a way to preserve culture while the small but fierce country held its own during invasions from Germany, Sweden, Denmark, and others. In 1991, after decades of Soviet rule, a country with just 1.5 million people regained its independence peacefully. Well, thank you for allowing me to talk just a little bit about a couple of my favorite examples of nonviolent protest. I hope it serves as a reminder that violence is very rarely the best possible option. Remember, if you like these little history segments I do, you can find them online at kggfradio.com. Click on the community tab and go down to On Demand and just look for a history segment that interests you. You are listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF.